Hallelujah. We have some notes, handout there that we want to go ahead and do. And I was going to tell you a joke, but I couldn't think of one, so that's okay. She's feeling funny this morning. I feel it too. How's everybody doing? So glad you're here today. It's going to be good. I can't hardly wait to hear what I have to say. So there you go. Okay. Well, last week we were talking about God's victory, and God's victory in the Lord is ultimate and eternal. It's based on His covenant. And it transforms your heart, your mind, your ways. Today we're going to follow up with this and talk about God's ways. How many of you have ever had this scenario in your mind where you go, that happened for them, why not for me? Is everybody, anybody? Could it be that they may be partnering with God's ways? Would you like to check that out? Because sometimes we can get real frustrated about what we see that God may do, but not know how to partner with Him and to see Him do it for us, right? Jesus actually said this, just as a little preamble. Jesus said, I am, come on, the way and the truth and the... Jesus didn't say He was a way or a truth or a life. He is standing and saying, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Just wrap your head around that for a little while. And then He says, no man comes to the Father except by me. No one comes to the Father. And God's ways, the word way here simply means a traveled way, or metaphorically, a course of conduct. So God has a course of conduct. Or Old Testament, there's this word, it's a road, a distance, a journey, a manner, figuratively, it's a course of life or a mode of conduct. And there is a verse in the Bible that in Isaiah 55, verse 9, and it says this. Everybody probably heard this before. As high as the heavens are high, higher than the earth. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher. This, write this on your notes. Higher than your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. The Lord's ways are higher. They're not... in fact, there's a Romans chapter 11, verse 33 says that, oh, the depths and the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and inscrutable His ways, or His ways are past finding out. In other words, the average person, there's a way that seems right to a man that leads to death. You figured it could go, it's supposed to do this, you know? How many of you have had moments like that when, doggone it, I'm trying harder? And every way, the Bible says, is every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. So this is Psalm 103, verse 7, and it says this. This is talking about God. He says, He made known His ways to Moses and His acts to the people of Israel. He made known His ways to Moses and His acts to the people of Israel. So what is the difference between knowing God's acts and knowing God's ways? It's the same difference between knowing what God does and how or why He does it. And for some reason, Moses actually knew God's ways. Everybody say, no, let me set this up. When we first got married, my wife and I had different ways, didn't we? Now everybody knows it right now. And we had to learn each other's ways. What is the key to learning each other's ways? Relationship, time with, listening, understanding, knowing each other, understanding the whys and hows and the perception of this and that and the other. There was really more laughter than I expected. But it's the same with the Lord is when you learn His way. So I want us to go ahead and look at the first way. We have the first way is, the God's way is the way of faith. Everybody say faith. Let's interact today. God's way is the way of faith. This is an amazing understanding about the Lord. It says in Romans 4, 2 through 5, if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about before God. But so what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, his wages are counted as not as a gift, but as his due. And the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. This is a big deal. So anyway, this is probably a simpler way to say it. Everybody read this. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Religion is based on works. I remember being at a funeral in Los Angeles, and there was a famous weightlifter guy, and he had passed away, and they were gathering there, and there are certain people that came to the funeral that were notable people on television, people who had television programs or been in the movies. It was the funniest thing because here you got, we were at the gravesite and all these guys looked like gigantic gorillas in suits. It was like all of them, like, it was these big old, I said, nobody looked right. They just looked right there. The suits. But one of the main guys got up and he started talking how many good things the fella did. And because of all of his good works, that he had a place in heaven. And I'm sitting there going, he doesn't know. There's a way that seems right to a man that leads to death. He doesn't know that there are no works that you can do. That the way of the Lord is completely a way of faith. That you put all of your faith in what Jesus has done from the beginning on through to the end. And sometimes when you don't understand that, you really frustrate your life. But I've been doing so much. And you put all the effort, you put all of the reason for your, you should have an answer to this or something that, but because you've done something. And the Lord says, but my way, let's put the next verse up. And without faith, it is impossible. It is impossible to please Him. Everybody look at me. One of God's ways is the way of faith. It's impossible to please Him without faith. And let me just go ahead and tell you, everybody's been given a measure of faith. And it all grows. It grows the more you... And here's how faith really, really works. You're reading the Bible or you're praying, you're saying, Lord, I really need to hear from you on this. And He speaks. He gives you something to believe on. And you take it and it's alive. I remember walking in somebody's room just right before walking in the hospital room. This Holy Spirit said, they're going to live and not die. Just right before I walked in the room, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. They're going to live and not die. So I went in and I just prayed according to what the Lord said. And they're living. But, you know, there's a rhema. The Lord gives you stuff to believe. He drops things in. He'll let you know this is going to be the right thing for you. He'll let you know, hey, it's a relationship. The people who have a relationship learn His ways. You spend time with Him. And one of His main ways it'll unfrustrate all of your problems is that He walks, He's a God of faith. He created the entire universe by speaking a word. Let there be light, come forth. And here we go. All of this, everything is, and so He invites you. Here, I'm going to say something to you, and you repeat it. And did it sound like a baby growing up? Da-da. That's how faith grows. You say what He says to you, and it comes alive in your heart. It takes root. I'm saved. The devil says, you're not saved. No, I'm saved. The devil says, no, you're not saved. I don't feel saved. Well, I'm saved. You know it's a battle, right? The devil comes immediately to steal the word that was put in your heart, but it's a faith one. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists And I love this part. Here's the kicker. This is a way of the Lord. That he, what? He rewards those who seek him. There are people that just come to church, punch the clock, I'm done, go home, have no, the rest of their life, maybe there's a little half hour, hour of their life that they did that religious thing, never talk to him, never seek him. This is not his ways. His way is that you come to him and put your trust in him and begin to believe in him. And you, let me go ahead and say, there will be moments where you are tested in trusting in him. If you haven't had one already, get ready. Buckle up. Because your faith is tested. You know what big way it's tested? It's tested every time you get money. Every time you're paid, your test, there's a test that comes. Will you trust God with your finances? Will you do it his way? Will you put faith in his word in the way he orders your finances? Will you do that? Will you say, first tenth, that's God's. It's his. No argument. That's his ways. And that, and here's another way. The way of your own way that looks right to a man leads to death. You go, how come financial things aren't working right? Has to do with faith in his ways. And his way is a way of actual faith in what he says. It's amazing. It's true. And once you lock onto that, we talked last week about the backbone of this is that God has a covenant with us. And his covenant with us is the foundation of everything that he does in our life. He's committed to us. I love this part because you can... Jesus, when he was resurrected from the dead, he'd visited all the other guys, you know, and except for Thomas. And he comes back a week later, and Thomas, like, unless I see him, and I'm not going to believe, you know, I got left out. And he shows up, and Jesus appears to Thomas, and he's there. He says, put your hand here in my side, feel this. And he does, and he says, oh, my Lord, my God. And then Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed. Peter said at one point, some of the things that Paul writes are kind of difficult to understand. Paul never had a flesh and blood relationship with Jesus. Everything he learned of the Lord was by the Holy Spirit speaking to him, all of it. It's the same way that we learn it, that everything that the Lord said, it's a way of faith, that there's a trust and a bond of relationship with him. Some of you have known the Lord a while, and you are to the point to where you don't actually always need a word or a scripture. He literally leads you with a sense of, like the Bible says in Psalm 32, his eyes. That you're going this way, and you go, And you go this way, because you know you have a relationship in his eyes. He says, let me guide you with my eyes. Because you've developed faith in the person. You put faith in the person so much that you'd rather do it his way than your way. Because you've gone your way and ignored it before and found out the trouble that that brings. You've learned with wisdom. There was one man, incredible story. Listen to this. He says, after he'd finished these sayings, this is Luke 7, after all these sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. I was in Capernaum. It's a little town north of the Sea of Galilee. Now, a centurion had a servant who was sick and to the point of death, who was highly valued by him. This is a centurion. A centurion, when he heard about Jesus, he sent him elders of the Jews, asking him to come and heal the servant. And when they had come to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly. He wasn't there. The centurion wasn't there. The elders of the Jews went. And they said to Jesus about this centurion, he's worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he is one who built our synagogue. This guy loved the heart of the people. He wasn't there because he cared about his servant, and Jesus went to them. And when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying, Lord, to say this to him, said, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you. This is a humble man. But say the word. Everybody say, say the word. Say the word and let my servant be healed. For I too am a man set under authority. And with soldiers under me, I say to one, go. And he goes. And another, come. And he comes. And when he comes, to my servant and do this, and he does that. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, turning to the crowd and said, I tell you, not even Israel, in all of Israel have I found such faith. Everybody say, God's ways is a way of faith. He's a faith. He requires faith. He fosters. Now, there, every now and again, he'll just come and do something, just totally blow you out of the water that he can initiate sovereignly. He'll do this. But the point is, usually when really good things happen, some old person that's been around a while has been praying for you. Somebody's putting faith up there and saying, Lord, work in so-and-so's life. Amen? And then, of course, you know, it says the word, there's more. I'm not trying to go 100 scriptures into the faith at all, but the Bible teaches that the just live by faith. And Jesus actually did teachings on the very concept of faith when he said, have faith in God. So, and then he started teaching, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. So now he starts to get, let's just put it this way. Faith and speaking God's words are linked together. And you becoming a person who speaks his words and believes them, that's a pattern of being walking with God in faith. One of his ways. So partly, if you're frustrated and you need something to happen and you're just begging him all the time, God, why aren't you doing this? God, why aren't you doing this? Why don't you pause and take a hold of his ways and say, Lord, I'm going to come and seek you for a season. Hello. And I want to ask you to speak to my spirit and my heart and let me hear what I can believe. Because I'm so tired of trying harder and telling you what to do all the time, and you never do it anyway. I don't think God's confused about who's servant. Because Jesus modeled it. He came down and served the entire world by dying for all of us. Breaking the back of the power and all the authority of sin over our life, resurrected from the dead, ascended to heaven, sent the Holy Spirit, give us power to live life, by the Holy Spirit, he says, I'm going to speak to you by my Spirit. I want to give you the ability. I want to say the things through the Spirit to your heart that you need to hear. How many of you just would like to go ahead and say, okay, I'm going to adjust my ways and begin to seek the Lord and learn his ways? Number two. This is so simple. God's way is the way of hope. This is important, very important. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things, everybody say hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is the assurance. One of the ways is the way of faith. One of the ways is the way of hope. Hope is the preferred picture that the Holy Spirit gives you about what can be. When things aren't working right, the Holy Spirit is the one who breathes hope into you and gives you a vision of where you can go from here and put faith in God to get there. Hope is so important. If you never see what you can become in Christ Jesus, you will never try to change and submit to him and partner with him. The Lord doesn't see you bound. He doesn't see people like Zacchaeus, greedy. He sees them generous. And what happened? A little time with Jesus and Zacchaeus becomes generous. He doesn't see the prostitute woman is bound in her sin. He sees the beauty of what she can become. This is the most remarkable thing about the Lord. He looks at a pile of burned out ash people and just sees the most beautiful thing. When you're burned out in life, when you're done with you and you can't do it anymore and you're done, he sees the most beautiful person coming out of there. Jesus is a God of hope. You can't go far enough for him not to come and redeem to the uttermost. There's nobody that gone that Jesus can't turn it all around. It's just not there. You can't mess up that bad. There's consequences, but the Lord can reach into those consequences. You know, the Bible says when Abraham was given this, when it says, have you ever heard the term hope against hope? Have you ever heard that? You know what that means? That means, and now with Abraham, it says he hoped, believing against hope. To hope against hope, believe against hope. Basically, it means this. I'm going to still believe that it's going to happen, even though there's no way that it really can. That's called hoping against hope. And Abraham was told, you're going to be the father of nations, 25 years later, after he has no ability to reproduce. And there's no ability to reproduce in Sarah. But because he said, I'm going to still believe God and put my hope in him, even though it looks like it could never possibly happen. And what did God do? He revived their reproductive organs. And they're too way past for that to work. But he did that. Why? Because they put their hope in what God said they could become. And they became it. There's a story in the Old Testament with Elisha. Elisha, this is one part of this message where the Lord just said, he gave me this story. He said, go there. And I had it in my mind what it was supposed to be. And when I got there, it was not what it was at all. What it was, here's the backup to it. Elisha was really wonderful to the Syrians, and they were all struck blind, and he led them, and they gave them a big dinner, and they were sowing kindness to him. Instead of wiping them out, they sowed kindness to him. Well, apparently the Syrian king didn't care for that, so he comes down, he surrounds the city, and they lay siege to the city. They lay siege to the city where there's no food coming in and out. The people are now starving to death. This is so bad that they're like paying. It'd be like, okay, this is gross. I mean, you can go read it yourself. I'm just going to say it my way because it's too R-rated. I'll say this. They reverted to cannibalism. There. That's R-rated enough. They were paying big bucks for dove dung. Okay, in other words, there's no food. So we're talking money for stuff that you wouldn't eat. I don't know if there's anybody in here that has had it that bad. This is really, really, really bad. Now the king, after he hears about this cannibalistic moment, rips open his robe, and underneath he has sackcloth. In other words, he's already in a state of mourning. And there's this captain that he has, and he leans on his hand all the time. He's leaning on the captain. He's leaning on this captain. And this captain is there. And so now they hear this horrible, horrible news, and they say, go get Elijah and take off his head. They're just mad. They're mad because it's all, they're mad at God. They're mad at the man of God. They're just mad. This is bad. So Elisha is down in his house with some elders, and these men are coming from the king to take his head off. And he tells the elders, they're coming to get me. When they open the door, he says, hear the word of the Lord, says the Lord. Tomorrow about this time, a seed of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two seeds of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. What this means is you're going to have plenty to eat for barely any money. You're going to have plenty to eat. A shekel is just a weight, pouring out some little silver or gold or something. It's a weight of that before the coins were made. In other words, you're going to have plenty. The prophet speaks by the word of the Lord. As we're talking about faith, hope, he injects a major vision of hope. You're going to have plenty to eat tomorrow after they have already suffered so bad and already becoming cannibalistic. And this captain, the captain on whose hand the king leaned, said to the man of God, if the Lord himself should make windows in heaven, could this thing be? He didn't say, wonderful news. You're the prophet of God. I believe you. He said, now watch this. The king leans on this guy. And this guy says, I doubt it. Let this register. When you need hope in your life, you don't need people around you who doubt the good thing that God will do. I want to go ahead and say, you don't need to be the person who creates the doubt in the mind of those people who are hoping for something beyond where they're at. We're going to have an altar at the end here. Nobody's too far gone ever. Nobody, ever, ever, ever. Nobody was this far gone. There's nobody in this room this far gone. And the prophet came and said, tomorrow, this time tomorrow, all this food's going to be plentiful. And the guy that the king relied on doubted it. And then this is how important hope is to the Lord. He has Elisha say, you'll see it with your own eyes, but you'll not eat of it. The people who cut off hope for others get no hope for themselves. You probably know somebody that negative. Are you there? When I went to this passage, I had no idea the Lord was pointing at the captain. I thought he's pointing at the lepers. They were hopeless. How can you get more hopeless than four lepers starving outside the gate? My mind went to them. You know what they did? This is their discussion. There's these four lepers at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, why are we sitting here till we die? If we say, let us enter the city, the famine in the city, we shall die there. If we sit here, we'll also die. They're just thinking, they're dead. We're dead. He said, so, come on, let's go over to the camp of the Assyrians. If they spare our lives, we'll live. If they kill us, we'll die. These guys are hopeless beyond. So they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Assyrians. And when they came to the edge of the camp of the Assyrians, behold, there was no one there. For the Lord had made the army of the Assyrians hear the sound of chariots and horses and the sound of great army. And they said to one another, behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egypt, and they've come against us. So they fled away in twilight and abandoned their tents and their horses and their donkeys, leaving the camp as it was, and they fled for their lives. When these lepers came upon the edge of the camp, they went into the tent and ate and drank, and they carried off the silver and the gold and the clothing and went and hid them. And they came back and entered the tent and carried off more things and went and hid them. And then they finally said to one another, what are we doing? What we're doing is not right. This day is a good day, good news. If we're silent and wait for morning, punishment will overtake us. Now, therefore, come, let us go tell the king's household. And so they came and they called the gatekeepers to the city, and they came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no one there. So all the town goes down and they all get in, and Elisha's word comes true. Now I've heard this preached. This is the fun part. Lepers usually count. You know, sometimes they don't walk real good, and like maybe they shuffle. And maybe they're shuffling. And God says, I'm going to have a little fun. And God puts a spiritual microphone down at their feet. And their shuffling is amplified. And four little lepers come into the camp. God amplifies the sound of their feet dragging on the ground. And it sounds like horses and chariots coming. Hope is important to God. Hope is important to God for the lepers. Hope is important to everybody. And then this is how it ends. Remember the captain? They put him in charge at the gate. So the people went out and plundered the camp of the Assyrians, and so a sith of flour was sold for a shekel, and two siths of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And now the king had appointed the captain on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate. And the people trampled him in the gate, and so that he died. As the man of God had said that the king would, when the king came down to him. For when the man of God said to the king, two seeds of barley shall be sold for a shekel, and a seed of fine flour for a shekel, about this time tomorrow in the gate of Samaria, the captain had answered the man of God, if the Lord himself should make the windows in heaven could such a thing be? And he had said, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it. And so it happened to him, for the people trampled him in the gate, and he died. And there's a massive warning. Don't be the person who doubts that God can do the miraculous thing to someone who has no hope at all. Be the person who agrees. Is that a point made or what? Everybody say, God's way is a way of hope. Do not become a hope stealer ever. Do not become a hope stealer. Don't look at a situation and size it up and say, they'll never change. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. That's not your God. That's not who Jesus is. They put him in the grave. They figured, that's all done. But Jesus rose from the grave. And he can rise up in your life anytime, anywhere. He can change the trajectory of your life. He can bring good out of every bad. He can make a massive anointed ministry out of a destroyed life. He's doing it all the time. Hand the reins over your life to Jesus and get away from the hopeless. Get away from the people who kill hope. Because God's ways, God, one of God's ways is his way is hope. Jesus always sees what you can become. He'll always speak it. He'll always speak it. It doesn't matter how long you've gone, how eaten up you are. It doesn't matter how devastated you've become. Who's spoken against you? He sees who he created and what you can become in him. How he looks at it, there's you and there's me and you. There's you and there's me inside of you. No problems. You can grow. The Spirit of the Lord inside of a person changes everything. What do you want, Lord? How do you want it? Does anybody need a work of the Spirit in the realm of hope today? We're going to get to another part, but I'm going to just have you lift your hands. Have you lift your heads to the Lord right now? Just do that. I feel moved in my spirit to put us in a position to receive from the Lord. Receive revelation from the Lord today. I believe he's going to give some of you snapshots, pictures of who you are in the very next few weeks and months. There's some of you that are going to see a person who has more peace in their life than they know what to do with. You're peaceful and you're fulfilled in a way in the Lord that you haven't been in a long time. The Lord's saying, I'm going to cause you to be content in me. Content in the Lord. Let's praise him just a minute. There's others of you, he's going to say some stuff. So he's going to show you stuff. Hallelujah. Praise your Lord. A preferred picture of your future, a preferred picture that Jesus gives cannot be taken away. Hell doesn't like this because it's always taking away ground from the devil. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We're going to continue the rest of the message real quick, and then we'll come and have a more time of a prayer. I want to go ahead and say God's ways, is a way of faith. His way is a way of hope. Somebody's going to figure this out and tell me what the last one is. Faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. God's way is the way of love. This is, you can't get around this one. You cannot get around this one. This is so deep and so powerful, you can't get around this. Jesus comes down saying, a new commandment I give to you. You shall love one another. Go ahead and smile at the person next to you. Just at least smile at them. You shall love one another just as I have loved you. Just as. Jesus, I'm the model for love. Just as I've done it, You're going to do it. You'll also love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. I'm going to put one more scripture up there, 1 Peter 4:8. Hold on to this one. Above all, keep on loving one another earnestly. Everybody rejoice over this line. For love covers a multitude of sins. Can I tell you, this is God's way. Your God and my God is the God who covers the multitude of sins. This is who Jesus is. He covers the multitude of sins. When you're at your worst day, He covers a multitude of sins. When you're doing things you wish you wouldn't, He covers a multitude of sins. He pours His love into you when you feel undeserving of it, because His love covers a multitude of sins. He cares about you when your mind is so twisted up, because His love covers a multitude of sins. He's wooing you out of whatever it is you're stuck in, because His love covers a multitude of sins. Do you know how come I know? Because I've brought Him a multitude of sins. I've brought Jesus a multitude of sins, and He keeps covering a multitude of sins. He started it way back and gave me hope to walk with Him. And I didn't know all the things that I would do wrong from that point on. And He just keeps covering a multitude of sins. I can't give up on anybody because He's not giving up on me. I'm not goody two-shoes. I'm baddie black boots. How many of you walked in stuff you wish you hadn't walked in? How many of you treading in stuff right now you wish you walked in? Love covers a multitude of sins. There's nothing going to change you like that. Because God says, you know what your answer is? More grace. Finally, you're going to go, wait a minute, God loves me. Yeah, He loves you when you're all messed up. He loves you, loves you, loves you, loves you. Yeah, but, and here's what will happen. You'll quit wanting to be messed up. Somehow the love will get inside of you. You go, I don't want to be messed up anymore, but I don't trust me. I love you anyway. I just love you. You know, it's not that you're lovable. It's that you run into the God who is love. He is love. And He loves you into wholeness. He loves you to freedom. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. These are the biblical truths. Now I want to take you back, and we're going to finish here in a second. I want to take you back to this first thought. It's on the back of your notes. Psalm 103 verse 7 said, He made known His ways to Moses and enacts His acts to the people of Israel. And I'm looking at this, you know, and I thought, well, at least one of His ways. And then the Lord's just, you know how the Lord is. You're reading the Bible, and the Lord says, whoa, hold on just a minute. Let me show you something else. Have you ever had the Lord do that? Holy Spirit goes, hey, let me just highlight to you what you really need right here. And I had no idea until yesterday afternoon, the Lord said, here's the ways. These are the ways. Love is my way. Look, love is the way of love that Moses was taught was the character of God's heart. It's who He is. They saw this lightning flashing on the top of Mount Sinai and they said, you go talk to Him. And Moses went up. And Moses' face began to glow. And he came down. And they couldn't look at Him because His face was so... He'd been spending time in the presence of God and His face was glowing. He learned who He was. Look at this with me as I read. He made known His ways to Moses. Here's one. Verse 8. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is merciful and gracious. This is the way the Lord is. He's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins. Somebody needs to read that again. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. God's way is the way of love. And when you learn the way of love, let me tell you one of the things you learn. You learn to forgive others the way he's forgiven you. Let me tell you another thing you learn. You learn how to bless people who really look unblessable. You learn how to love people who are completely unlovable because it's not coming out of you. You're learning his ways, and he'll love through you. When a person knows they're deeply loved by the Lord, it's easy for that love to spread through them. Because love bears all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love believes all things. Love never fails. Love never ends. Faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these, they still abide, right? The greatest of these is love. Why? Because through love, faith rises. Faith works through love. When you know your daddy loves you, you believe him. And I don't know where you're at in your growth in the Lord, but don't be a hope stealer from anybody. Let's go ahead and stand together.
Praise the Lord. What a good message. Amen. Amen. There will be some of you who'll need to come for some prayer, because as I was taking notes, I saw three things. What steals faith? The spirit of fear. What steals hope? The accuser of the brethren, who accuses you day and night, and I'm talking about in your mind and in your emotions. And what steals love? The spirit of rejection. These are the spiritual dynamics that take away from those things. If any of those things I just mentioned, you go, that's me, then you need to come down here, because there's an antidote for that. The antidote for fear is faith. The antidote for hopelessness is to put down the accuser of the brethren. Because it's not just a person that might be accusing you or stealing your hope. It could be the very enemy himself playing with your mind. And if you don't feel loved, then we want to kick the spirit of rejection out of your life so that you can know, as you relate to love in your feeling realm, that he loves you. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Can we have the people praying come on down?
People come on down.
If not, have a beautiful day. Head on and enjoy.
Hallelujah. We release you. Be blessed.